This is Good News Chats with Dr. Ken Tangen.
Hi, this is Ken Tangen, and this Good News Chat is with Richard Putnam. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's great.
So did you grow up in a Christian family?
Yes, I did. As early as I can remember, I was in church all the time.
So how did you become a Christian?
I was 6 years old. That was young. We were in a Baptist church, and it was a sermon. It just touched me, and I knew that I was a sinner. So even at that young age, I walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus as my Savior, and that's how I became a Christian. Now, years later, I strayed and have since come back, but that's how I first became a Christian.
What was it like to come back to the church?
It was great. It was during my, I guess, my teen years and my early 20s, that's when I had strayed. You know, as a musician, it's very easy to stray because there's so many temptations in places that you play, if you play music other than Christian music. So I had strayed, and when I came back, it was great. I had to God sort of let me, sort of like the prodigal son, at the bottom of some things in myself and realize that I needed to make a change. So after that, a big weight was lifted off of me, and it was great.
What has surprised you about being a Christian?
Being a young Christian surprised me. People surprised me, I think. Before I learned that you have to look at Jesus and not at people, it surprised me the way some Christian people acted and did things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there a godly person who greatly impacted your life?
Early, it was my parents, you know, and early on, and my grandmothers, both my grandmothers. But while I was straying, when I was in that period, when I was coming back then, there was a couple of guys, friends of mine, that were actually a little younger than I was, but they had a more solid faith than I did, and they helped me a lot.
Did you come from a large family?
No, actually, I'm an only child, and I was adopted.
How did that impact your life?
Well, you know, I guess an only child gets sort of spoiled. I guess I was sort of spoiled in certain ways, but I was always proud of being adopted. I was always told that I was adopted. And so I wasn't ashamed of that. And I consider, I know my parents died when I was 13. My mother died when I was 13. My dad died when I was 17. But I was always proud of them, and always, I never had to look for my birth mother or anything. So as an only child, it's sort of a lot of times you're on your own by yourself. You don't, you know, you've got friends and stuff, but it's not like brothers and sisters and stuff like that. So
music has been a big part of your life. How does that, did that lead you toward God or away from Him?
Both. I started taking piano when I was 7, and I've always liked music. And when I got to be a teenager, I got in a band, and it wasn't cool to play church music or religious music at that time. And then we started playing some clubs and stuff like that. So that actually led me away. And when I came back, I reached a point where I was playing in a club, and God just told me to quit. And I thought, well, I can't make a living doing this. And so I just quit. I just quit. And I didn't make a living at it for about a year. I worked in the convenience store and did some other things. And then gradually he started opening the doors again. And after that, things have been the best they've ever been. So I would say music led me back in the fact that music with the right words really touches your heart.
And now it's a part of your ministry.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's everything I do. I mean, that's what I do as a profession. I've got a little studio, and I play at other recording sessions at other studios, as you know, because we played for you. And I do soundtracks for people, and you know, it's all Christian music, so it's everything. I love music. It's a very good, it soothes you.
We'll have more with Richard right after these announcements. Today's good news announcement comes from 1 John. We are writing to you about something which has already existed, yet we ourselves actually saw and heard. something which we had an opportunity to observe closely, and even to hold in our hands, and yet, as we know now, was something of the very word of life himself. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it, we are eyewitnesses of it, and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortal men. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship of the Father and Jesus Christ his Son. We must write and tell you about it, because the more that fellowship extends, the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it.
That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end of our announcements. That's the end of our announcements.
That's the end. That's the end. That's the end. That's the end.
No more.
So, Richard, when do you feel closest to God?
Well, it's a walk through the whole day. But actually, I feel closest to God when either I'm playing like praise music and worship music at, or hymns at church, or actually when I'm sitting here working on a song. I mean, there's sometimes that I'll be working on getting a song, recording a song for someone, and the words and the music actually just touches me, and it just lets me remember how great God is. I have those moments in every now and then during the day.
Have you ever experienced a miracle or seen an angel?
Actually, I have experienced a miracle, a couple actually. One was a small, I don't know if any, there's a small miracle, but one was when my oldest daughter was about 3, she had a stomach virus, and we would have to take her to the hospital because she couldn't keep anything down, and we prayed for her, and we were getting ready to take her to the hospital. We walked in the room, and her fever had stopped, and she was fine, and she started eating.
That's nice.
And then another one was a few years ago. I'm 62 now. A few years ago, I had an episode with some high blood pressure, and you know, I had to go to have some tests done. I had a heart catheterization done, and they thought that I had some blockage. They were pretty sure of it. And when we got into the heart catheterization thing and they started looking, there was no blockage at all. It was gone. So I feel like that was a miracle. And I think the biggest miracle is that my wife and I were married for 17 years, and then we divorced for 10 years. And then we were always friends, but I think God changed our hearts. And about 12 years ago now, we got remarried. And I think that is a miracle that was a long, ongoing miracle.
But, what size church do you attend now?
It's a small church. It's only about 100 people.
Mm-hmm. What denomination?
It's sort of an offshoot of a Baptist church, but it's actually, they have a lot of praise and worship, so it's sort of like Greg Laurie's church, if you're familiar with Greg Laurie, sort of like that. So
how did you pick it?
Well, I was playing at another Baptist church in another town, and one day the worship leader came and asked to do some work. And so we started talking and some things, and he asked me if I would want to play at their church, and it worked out, and I did. So, yeah.
So what drives you crazy about Christians?
I don't know. I think the biggest thing is sometimes that some Christians think they know exactly what you need, what another person needs, when, or you know, they think they're maybe closer to God or something, and there's some sort of an arrogance.
I have a word from God for you.
Yes, that's it. That's it, exactly. Yeah, that's it. And that bothers me, you know. But you have to, you know, take what they say and pray about it and think about it, because I mean, sometimes they could have a word. You know, you never know.
Are there things you can do now that you couldn't do as a child?
Yeah, the church culture has changed. I think, you know, growing up as a Baptist, there wasn't mention of a lot of the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that. I think things have progressed more towards that now. And as far as music, too, especially, I mean, when I was growing up, it was the hymn book, you know, the hymns, and that was it. And now, you know, they're allowing electric guitars and drums and stuff in there, too. And I think all of it's good.
Well, Richard wonders what I'm going to ask next. It's time for the offering. Actually, it's just a chance to thank you for your generosity. People have donated their time, talent, and money to this project. I want to take this moment just to say thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean,
thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Richard, has God put a particular issue or cause on your heart?
Well, yeah. My wife and I, my wife is a school teacher. She's actually a guidance counselor. And through her, we help some of the kids that, you know, in the school that are needy. There's a lot of, and she's in charge of all the teen pregnancies and stuff at that school. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I just feel like my calling is music and to help people. And I try to help people no matter how good, you know, technically they are. I try to give them all the best project I can give them. I don't know. I just feel led, because there are a lot of people that never will make it big per se, and that's not what God wants. I think He wants people in every place at every level singing music to Him to bless other people and to help lead other people to Christ. So I feel like I can help in their ministries by giving them the best music that I can give them.
And you're very good at it. I should explain to listeners that Richard helped me. He did all the charts for the album that I made. We made a Christmas album to help raise money for my daughter's medical needs. And Richard donated his time and talents and did a great job on it.
Thanks, man. I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was good. It was good to meet you, too. I didn't know there were any Christians in California at that time.
No, I'm kidding. Just one or two.
Yeah.
So, Richard, what's the one practical thing that Christians could do to improve the world?
Follow what Jesus says in the Bible. Take care of widows and orphans. Love each mm-hmm. other unconditionally. I think we wouldn't have a lot of the problems in our country if that we're having today if Christians would give to people who are in need. There are a lot of people out there, I think, that need that. So that's the main thing, I think, that we need to do what the Bible says. I mean, it's great to sit in church and praise God and talk about it, but you got to get out here and live your life that way every day. You got to put it into action. So I would say just the main thing are the words that Jesus said in the Bible, and just to follow that. I think if everybody did that, I think things would be a lot better.
What has been the biggest challenge to your faith?
Well, the biggest challenge with me, I have a problem with pride. And I have to daily, when I'll get a prideful thought or something, I'll have to take it captive, like the Bible said, to take thoughts captive and stuff, you know, and realize that I don't have anything unless I've got Christ. And he has allowed me to be what I am, mm-hmm. you know. And so I have to, I continuously have a battle with that, but, you know, at least I realize that now. I didn't used to realize it, but I do now. So.
Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Gosh, I have a lot. There's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's one of my favorites. And there's another, I think 1 Peter 5, it just says He cares for you. And that to me, that verse actually brought me, when I was at the very bottom of years ago, brought me back, because it just touched my heart, you know, for He cares for you. It's mm-hmm. so simple, but it's true. He does care for us.
Aside from the Bible, is there a book that you would recommend for new Christians?
Aside from the Bible, there was a thing that helped me. It was a thing that, and I can't remember the guy's name, Blackaby, James Blackaby or something like that. It was sort of a study book that I did at a church when I started going again. It was called Experiencing God. And it was really good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It may be out of print now, though, but I like that book.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think heaven is like?
Gosh, I don't know, Ken. I know it's going to be great. It's going to be greater than we can even imagine. And I hope that we'll see all our relatives that have gone, you know, and all our loved ones, everybody we care about. I even hope that I'll see some of my favorite pets You know, I don't know, and I don't know about all that stuff. You know, I don't know if we're going to be on the land or what we're going to be or what, but I just trust God that it'll be great. It'll be better than this, you know. So, and I love this world. I mean, as far as the nature and the trees and everything.
He did a good job.
But he did a good job. Yes, he did. So I imagine he's done a good job on whatever is next. Mm-hmm. You know, too.
I want to thank Richard Putman for joining me today. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Ken. I was glad to do it.
Amazing and so glorious, so beautifully victorious, almost unbelievable, completely inconceivable, astoundingly divine, wonderfully sublime, incredibly, delightfully, stupendously, abundantly, emphatically, eternally, fantastically, remarkably, good news!
We've got good news for people in trouble, good news for people in pain, we've got good news for everybody, good news. Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Good news, Jesus is alive. Alive, alive, alive. Good news, Jesus is alive.